Good evening. Meditation is a word that many people use in different ways. Some think of meditation as clearing the mind, repeating a phrase, or seeking inner calm. But biblical meditation is far different. When we look at Scripture, meditation is the deliberate, reverent, focused dwelling upon the Word of God. He gave us this very book, His Word, to be read, remembered, pondered, obeyed, and lived. That's why He entrusted us with something so precious, and that being the Word of God. It is not just to be glanced through. It is not meant for us just to scratch the surface and keep moving, to read through quickly. It was for us to ponder on it, to dwell on it day and night. And so the question we need to answer tonight is, how do we meditate on the Word of God in a way that honors God and changes our lives? And so how does it begin? Meditation begins with delight in God's Word. In our main text, Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he meditates day and night." So we see here the righteous man in Psalm 1 does not meditate merely because it's a duty. There's this social media influencer, and he is a quote-unquote Christian. But he said something that really I couldn't agree with. He was on a podcast, and they asked him, "Do you enjoy reading the Word of God?" And his answer was, "No, I have to make myself do it." The problem with that statement is that we are to find the Word of God as a delight. We should want to be in it every single day. We should want to study and live it. It should be the one thing that brings peace and joy to our lives. But if we have that mindset of, "Well, I have to force myself to read it," there's a problem that needs fixed very quickly. But he meditates on it day and night. He delights in the law of Yahweh. Once again, if we see Bible study as an obligation, meditation will be shallow. Because guess what? People, as human beings, we dwell on what we love. You know, you think about hobbies. Whatever your favorite hobby is, if you dwell on it day and night, if you think about it even when you're not doing it, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You love it, right? You're in love with it. You want to do it every day. A lot of people with their favorite TV shows, you know, I find it very just funny how people, they watch a show so many times, they remember each line, they remember what's going on. And even song lyrics, let me tell you, people amaze me. They can sing entire songs without looking. And I'm not talking about hymns, I'm talking about just secular music that's out there in the world. It always amazed me. But yet, people can't give God's Word 1 minute. People cannot memorize Scripture, remember the words of Christ. And once again, I struggle with it too. We all do at some point. But if the Word of God is precious to us, meditation becomes natural and regular. It becomes a part of us. You know, some famous shows that will live forever. I mean, you think about the Andy Griffith Show, came out in the 60s, maybe the 50s, a little bit later in the 50s. And people still watch it today. It's a show that will live on forever. And people, you know, of course, can name it line for line. They make it a part of them. That's how we are to make the Word of God. We are to make it a part of who we are. We are to be in it day and night. Because meditation also separates the godly from the worldly. We see here in Psalm 1, there's a contrast with the righteous man and those who walk with the wicked. We see that contrast there within Psalm 1. One person is shaped by the world, the other is shaped by the Word of God. And so what does it require? Meditation requires filling the mind with God's truth. Biblical meditation involves repeated attention. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and then you will be prosperous. Here's God telling Joshua to meditate on the book of the law day and night. Why? So he'll be careful and do all that God has told him to do. Why did Moses and the older generations, why didn't they cross over into the promised land? They disobeyed. They didn't do according to God's law. And now, of course, Joshua would be leading them over into the promised land. And it was very important that they do what God tells them to do. What does this show? It shows consistency. And that's something that we need as Christians. We need consistency, not in the world, in our spiritual life, in the Word. Once again, meditation is not a passing thought. It is sustained reflection. Meditation includes speaking and rehearsing truth. It's not always silent. You know, TV shows, movies depict the people, they sit down, they cross their legs, and they hold their hands out and just hum. That's, once again, I think there are people who do that, but we need to understand sometimes it involves reading out loud. It involves repeating a passage, quoting it, or speaking it to ourselves. Taking a simple walk in nature and having scripture on your mind, that's meditating on His Word. That's meditating on what text, whatever chapter or verse it is. We're going over it in our minds. We're discussing it. I'm not to a point where I'm crazy enough to answer my own questions yet. But that is something we need to be doing. Dwelling on it day and night. And so speaking scripture slows us down and helps press truth deeper into the heart. Scripture does. It slows us down. It makes us think. It brings us joy, peace, hope. It does so much for us. And when we dwell on it day and night, we're pushing it deeper into our hearts and minds. We're branding our heart and mind with the Word. And that's something we need more than anything right now. But also, meditation is connected to obedience. The purpose of meditation is not just knowledge. Joshua was to meditate so that he would be careful to do according to all that is written. If we're not meditating on the Word of God, if we're not dwelling on it day and night, guess what? We're not going to obey. We're not going to do as God has told us, has commanded us. We won't. Because what will we do? We will allow things like distractions to pull us away. We will find something that to us is more important when the reality is it's not. Nothing is more important than having delight in His Word and meditating on it day and night. It will help us stay on the straight and narrow path, not the crooked, wide way which leads to destruction. And so what does it mean? Meditation means pondering deeply, not reading carelessly. You know, I'm not against reading the Bible in an entire year. I think it's a great thing. But there is a difference between reading and studying. There's a difference between reading and absorbing. I would rather someone take a whole book, either from the old or new, or both, and study. Go through that book. Dig into the meat of the text. You're going to get more. That person's going to get more from it than just simply reading through it through an entire year. Because I've heard people, when they hit Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it's always, I got to get through these three books and then I'm good. Is that how we should act when we are sitting and reading the Word of God? No. You know, don't get me wrong. If you just read through Leviticus, oh yeah, it's dry. But when you study it, when you dig into it, there's a lot of good stuff that we can pull and apply to our lives. Look at 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Notice, until I come, give attention to these things. Why is Paul telling Timothy? Because it's important. It's going to help Timothy stay grounded. It's going to help Timothy grow. Because once again, Timothy, who's in Ephesus, ministering to the people, it's not easy. He's a young man, and he is there to minister. And I'm sure he probably bumped heads with a few of the leaders there, the older men. I'm sure it happened. We see at one point he tells him, don't let them despise you of your youth. And so it's important. Give attention to these things. And then going on to verses 15 and 16, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Paul told Timothy here, once again, to be absorbed in these things. When you absorb something, it's like you're becoming that thing. It's your life. It's who you are. That's your identity. If we're not absorbing Scripture, then what are we absorbing? Are we absorbing worldly things? Are we absorbing sin? Because, once again, it's like that statement, you are what you eat. If you eat unhealthy, people are going to be able to tell. If you eat healthy, people are going to be able to tell. It's going to be evident. You gain weight or you lose weight. The same goes for a Christian. If we are absorbing Scripture daily, meditating on it, people are going to see the difference. We're going to notice the difference. It's going to be evident not just to us, but all people that surround us. Once again, meditation does not mean read quickly and move on quickly. So many people rush through these books, chapters, and verses. They don't absorb it. They don't see the bigger picture. We often do not need more chapters as much as we need deeper reflection on the chapters we already used. Let me say that again. We often do not need more chapters as much as we need deeper reflection on the chapters we already read. Here are some questions that we could ask while meditating on Scripture. What does this text reveal about God? What does it reveal about man? Is there a command to obey? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there an example to follow? Is there a promise to trust? These are important questions. If you need these questions, I'll send them to you. They're important questions to ask while we're meditating on Scripture. Because, once again, meditation helps us spiritually progress, to grow, to become more mature in our walk with Christ, in our relationship with Christ. Once again, in 1 Timothy, Paul said, so that your progress will be evident to all. When the word is deeply considered, it gradually changes speech, attitude, conduct, and character. The gospel should change us. But if we're not taking it seriously, if we're not meditating on it day and night, if we don't find delight in the word of God, then we're going to be worldly, not godly. And so where does it lead? Meditation leads to transformation of life. Going back to a very well-known text, should be James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. But become doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looked at himself and has gone away, he immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does. The danger of only being a hearer is that we forget. Look what happened to Israel when they forgot. It wasn't good. They lost everything, even their lives. For us, it's going to be far worse because we're talking spiritual death. If we are just a hearer, we will forget what the Word of God says, and we will find ourselves deep in sin. Person may read scripture, hear sermons, attend classes, and still fail spiritually if he never lets the word govern his life. Once again, what I said this morning, just being here on Sundays and Wednesdays doesn't save you. It is doing what the word of God commands of us, letting it govern your life. We cannot partially do what it says. We must fully do what it says. Because meditation helps prevent shallow hearing. Because why? It forces us to stay with the truth long enough to face what it demands. So are we up to that challenge to face what it demands of us? Are we willing to take that challenge on and to be doers, to meditate on it day and night, and to remember always? Look intently describes focused attention. James says the faithful person looks intently into the law of liberty. Once again, this language here fits what meditation, biblical meditation, is. It is careful, honest, and humble examination. You want to examine your life? Compare it with the Word of God. And if you're not lined up with it, you need to do better. You need to go into His Word and figure out, what do I need to do to fix this? Because write this very book that's in the pews, that you have at home, that you have with you tonight, has the solution to the problem. But do we look intently into the law of liberty? Because meditation should produce action. What must I change? What sin must I repent of? What duty must I fulfill? What attitude must I correct? What truth must I believe more fully? And so how can we do this? Here are some practical ways to meditate on the Word of God. One, set aside a regular time. That means you set aside an hour or two. The very bare minimum, an hour. We should be in it more. But we need to set aside regular time, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, evening. And guess what? I tell people, 2 hours a day. You can split that up however you want. You can do, I had to do math for a second, so I didn't look like a fool up here. You can do 3 20-minute sessions, sorry. You can do 10-minute sessions all the way through, whatever it may be. This is important, that we set aside regular time, and not just once a week or twice a week or once a month, every single day. Secondly, read smaller portions slowly. Let me tell you, it's not a race. There's this thing they do at church camps, and I was a part of it. It's called the Centurion Challenge. I shouldn't say I didn't like it. It did get kids memorizing scripture. But we had what was called as well the Bible Bowl. You know, we've seen our Bible Bowl still take place. But there are people who don't even give time to study for the Bible Bowl and just go straight in hoping, you know, to compete, hoping to get some questions right. It's not about reading the most. We need to take a step back and read smaller portions slowly, understanding and absorbing what we're seeing. Third, write down key thoughts. Take notes. While you're doing personal study, while the preacher's up preaching, take notes. Write down key thoughts. It helps center us and it helps us remember what was said. And then fourth, I had memorized scripture, but this is what I say. Learn scripture. My sister was in nursing for a while, went through nursing school and all of that. And I remember she was sitting, she had to study the human body, know these huge names of different parts. Boy, I did not envy her. But I asked her, I said, how are you memorizing these things? And she looked at me and she said, no, I got to learn them. There's a difference. If you learn it, and let me tell you, I want a doctor who learned and not just memorized, because you will forget. I don't want a doctor operating on me if he's just memorizing scrape by school. But she learned it because it was important to learn it. So when she got patients, she could tell them, she could help them. We need to learn scripture. Put it in our minds and make it a part of who we are. Pray through the passage. I think we need to do this more often. Pray for God's guidance through his word. Pray for understanding. Pray for wisdom. These are things we need to do. Praying through the passage. And finally, return to the verse during the day. This is important. Don't just look at it once and, all right, I got it down, and not return back to it. Later that day when you have time, return back to it. Return back to that passage, that chapter, that verse, and study it again. Bring it back into remembrance. I have to go over things multiple times before it gets set and it's in there for good. We need, as the church, as Christians, to take it more seriously, to meditate day and night, to delight in the law of God. Not treat it like a duty, not treat it like it's optional. It's not. It's something we need daily. Every minute. You know, we sing that song, I need thee every hour. Do we honestly believe that when we sing those words? We need God, we need his word every hour, every minute, every second of the day. And so are we meditating on the word daily? Are we absorbing it? Are we dwelling on it every day and night? If the answer is no, then there needs to be change in your life, in your routine. You need to implement more Bible study in your life. Grow in it. Know it. And let me tell you, when you grow, you're going to do great things for the kingdom. You're going to go out. You're going to reach people. And people are going to see the change in you. That's a part of evangelism. Being the Christian, your life can change others. How you live, it can bring about plenty of opportunities. So if you're here this evening and you haven't been meditating, you haven't been taking it seriously, and you find yourself in sin, I pray that you come forward and be reconciled, repent and be reconciled to God. Allow us, the church, to help you in any way. Or if you're not a Christian, here's the solution to your sin, and it can be found within Scripture. To believe and obey Jesus Christ this night, and your sins will be washed away. And how do we obey? Well, we need to hear and believe first. That's important. Belief. Without believing, there's nothing more that can be done. Then we need to repent. You need to repent of your sins. It means change. You're no longer the same person you once were. You're turning back to God. And then you must confess your faith in Christ, not being ashamed of him. We are to confess him before man, not deny him. But then we must be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. Like Paul says in Romans 6, we are being buried with Christ. Our old self, our old sinful self is being buried, put away, and the blood of Christ washes over us, washes us as white as snow. And when we raise up out of the water in the likeness of his resurrection, we are now perfect, a new creation. We are walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful, and that includes to his word, being in it day and night. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.